As with most of those in the Protestant tradition, we don't have some sacred altar that we serve our communion from, something that is untouchable or extraordinary. We simply have a table. Sure, it's been commercialized as the church grew from infancy, where it used to meet in homes and gather around tables. It's been institutionalized and come to take this pretty common form, but it still simply is a table. And we use this, right, to remember this incredible meal that Jesus shared on that last night when he was crucified and died. He ate bread and drank wine and told them that whenever they do it, to do it in remembrance of him. So while the Last Supper initiated what we now call communion, or the Lord's Supper, this Lent we are going to explore together a few more stories where Jesus gathered with his disciples around tables and explore how the table shapes our identity as disciples of Christ. Where we sit, who we sit with, what we eat, all of us, tells us something about ourselves and how one of the most ordinary human practices, gathering around tables, has the power to shape our faith. After Jesus died, that Last Supper became a sacrament, right? One of the two that we have, a sign and seal of Christ's powerful presence among us. And whenever we partake and remember him. Well, whenever we eat throughout the week, there isn't usually anything extraordinary that happens when you gather around your kitchen table. But if we pay close attention, we can see God coming among us and inviting us to listen, to learn, and to follow. This Lent, as we explore more stories than just that Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, we invite all of you to gather around meals together, just as Jesus did, and find ways that you see Christ emerging in one another, in conversation, in connection, in stories ahead, in the sacred moments that take place when we open ourselves up. We invite you to gather without expectation, and to be open to the power of community and God's activity when we gather. So today, the text we will explore is a story that occurs six times in the New Testament. Six. So important to those early Christians that it occurs in every gospel, all four, and twice in both Mark and Matthew. This is the familiar story of the feeding of the multitude, or the 4,000, or the 5,000, depending on what gospel you read from. Hear God's word now for us as we gather with Christ, with one another around this table this morning. Mark 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. And as he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he, that is Jesus, had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said, "How many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 150s. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In my 17 years of ordained ministry, I have eaten a lot of church dinners. Potlucks, catered meals, cake, grazing receptions. Yes, that's what we called them at one church, grazing receptions. And never have I ever been to one where we ran out of food. Ever. And there's some theological richness in that, isn't there? And when polled, when we came as, well, and as we continue to come out of the pandemic, the main thing Christians say they missed about in-person worship, overwhelmingly, was communion. Virtual communion just did not pass the litmus test of realness. There is something powerful that happens when we gather and when we share a meal in person around a table, whether it's the Lord's table or grandma's table. We are not only fed by the bread, but by the very word of God, whether implicit or explicit. And so many of us missed gathering with others around tables to eat meals and share and simply soak up all of the things, right? The emotions, the smells, the ideas, the gifts of community and its power when we sit down at table together. And so many of us, now that we're out of the pandemic, have gotten caught up again in all the things as we fully come out, right? Getting caught up, making up for missed time, for that thing we missed the most, being together, connecting. We've failed to create the spaces to make it more of a priority now. In fact, we're just like those early followers in our gospel text for today, where we learn in verse 31, "For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." Not unlike those disciples. So many of us come and go and have no leisure even to eat, that which is the most basic form of human need, getting sustenance for our bodies. From business lunch meetings where we don't actually eat, to fast food or Uncrustables and carrots between rehearsal and soccer practice, or eating dinner when we get to it late, which usually means that it happens while doing homework or taking a deep breath from the busy day and watching a little TV as we eat. So whether it is overtly during the work of the church, like some of us do, or whether you are doing the implicit work of helping this world become more like heaven on earth because of how you do your 9-to-5 life, not unlike us, those early disciples were wiped out. They were constantly being bombarded with people huddling around them, always trying to grab Jesus and wanting to learn more and lean into whatever Jesus was teaching or healing. I want to draw to us very clear parallels between this biblical witness today and us. First, where did they gather in this story? The disciples were in a deserted place, the wilderness. They didn't gather those people and feed them in the church. They weren't in a religious setting at all. I mean, Jesus did teach occasionally in the synagogue, but most of the stories we hear about Jesus take place out in the world. More of what we'll hear in the weeks to come, but today's story takes place in the wilderness. Second, how was that meal administered? It wasn't just Jesus. The people could not have been fed. The miracle would not have happened unless the disciples showed up, shared, and ate as well, with all of those searching and asking questions of Jesus. We are an important part of the story of the gathering of people, of inviting them to experience the mystery of God around the tables that Jesus sets for all of us. Finally, what happens when they gather? The ways God shows up is the reminder, truly, that it is God who provides the meal, not us. We're merely those servants, right? Passing out the bread like those early disciples. And we'll be just as surprised with the ways that Jesus meets us at our tables. All of our human gauges, right, of reason, of intuition, of feelings, they all fall short of God's imaginative capacity and ability to show up in our lives. The story of the feeding of the multitude today is one of many biblical stories about gathering around the table that will happen in a variety of settings, that will be shared in a variety of ways, and that will result with God always showing up because of it. The thread that is woven through all of these stories about tables is that we gather and God provides. There is a sacred mystery when the people of God gather, and there is always abundance, because that is what the table symbolizes, that the table surpasses time and space. It isn't just the nourishment of our bodies, but also for our spirits and our souls and our minds, because of who provides the richness we experience: Christ. I don't think it's a mystery as to why we all missed in-person communion the most when we were worshiping remotely. The power of that table, of any table, and the mystery of how God always shows up is often overwhelming and always powerful. And it doesn't have to be this table. So we invite you in the next 6 weeks to go, as Jesus says, and do likewise. Gather around tables and experience how Jesus meets you there. Whether it's with people outside our community or whether it's with one another. We'll have weekly Here's Meet at the church with soup and salad on Wednesday. We have the community dinner twice in the next 6 weeks. We have a sign-up out in the hall for dinners with others in the congregation that you may not know. We will celebrate communion each Sunday in this sanctuary. And I'm hoping to gather all the families together with my children for a little bit of chili soon. And we know that you can't do it all. Bill and Clint and I will not do it all. So try this. Just once. This Lent, if that is all you can manage, just once. Be intentional. And after you gather, pause and reflect on how God showed up. And to be clear, right, I don't mean have a meal together and talk about Jesus, right? I mean gather around tables and be with one another. Share your lives, eat great food, and remember it is God who provides. Let me share an example, right? So last summer I went for dinner and a couple of adult beverages with someone new in the community, just to connect. But what I didn't realize until later was that I needed to be with other adults and had no idea how much I was missing it. That evening was salve for my soul, and I didn't know it was hurting. 1 hour of dinner turned into four, and luckily both of us had sitters or spouses at home to man the fort while we giggled and laughed and heard one another's stories, shared recent hardships with kids and family and work, and I realized later what a gift that time was. One that won't be replicated probably anytime again soon, but I realized how much more connection I needed in my life. Because being with others fills my bucket and reminds me of God's abundant love. God showed up that night and provided not only a new friendship, but the gift of time with another. And that, my friends, is one of so many ways that God gifts us at the table. So we invite you into the practice of gathering together, celebrating the one who provides the meal and the mystery of God who shows up in and among us and meets us at the table when we partake of Christ's meal together. Praise be to God, whose Spirit is alive and bringing life abundant to us all.